Welcome to the Ali USA podcast, episode number 220. Here on a Wednesday afternoon at 12:30 p.m. on April 24th, 2024. And I'm back for a reluctant and quick solo cast.
I love me some meat.
I took another 2 full weeks off. Did not plan on doing that. I've been upping my production. This is a new laptop. I should not have done it. I'm probably going to regret it, but you know what? I haven't bought a new laptop since 2020. Well, besides the gaming laptop, but I don't want to keep using the fucking gaming laptop to record these things. I also upgraded my internet to the highest speed that you can fucking get through Spectrum. It costs so goddamn much, I'm probably not going to make it through the summer without becoming homeless because of it. But, I'm up in the production. Hope you enjoyed Robert Tabbitt on the last episode. Next time we're going to do it through OBS. I realized that we could have had the microphones fed into the YouTube channel, but instead we're just talking like two idiots in an open room. So, heightened production is here. I've been so fucking busy with things. I'm trying to slam this out quickly before leaving to Plano, Texas in like 2 hours. We have to fucking leave, so I have to hurry. No sound effects, bada bing, bada boom, get this shit done. And before we really get moving and shaking, let's do some ad drops. AntSauce. Go to antsauce.com or antsgourmet.com and order some fucking sauce. Hit me up if you're interested and I'll give you the promo code for 20% off. Stop eating boring sauce. Also, the Bisbee Ghost app. Are you fascinated by haunted stories and locations? With the Bisbee Ghost app, take your thirst for the paranormal to a new level. So plan a vacation to Bisbee and pull out a Ouija board and summon a dead construction worker that was run over by a truck in 1968. So go to bisbeeghost.app and join the waitlist. I think it's about to drop like this weekend or something. So check it out. So where to begin here, like I said, on a new laptop that I should not have bought that I still could return within like 30 days if I feel like it. But I feel like I need this new laptop and I'm going to take care of this one. I know I say that all the time and then always go to, you know, titsandviruses.gov and destroy the whole fucking thing. So money has been, you know, a problem for everyone. I hate when I see or hear people saying that they're saving up. Who the fuck saves up these days? What the fuck are you talking about? What are you, a CEO of fucking Temu or fucking Walmart? Like, I don't understand how people have money to save up. You either make money to spend or you don't. But the days of just like, oh, I'm saving up to go to Hawaii or I'm saving up to buy a car, at least for people in my bracket and lifestyle, that just does not happen anymore. Considering applying at one of these fucking comedy clubs in town and seeing if they'll hire me to be a Walmart greeter for them. This new internet better fucking blow me the hell away. This new internet better come with a blowjob is basically what I'm trying to say. Because this is absurd amounts of money. Cat update. The cats have been up and down. Gizmo's age has been really showing lately. She does this shit where she wakes me up every fucking day meowing, and it's weird because she eats like a tank, but it's like she's not feeling replenished or nourished from the food because she's constantly like begging for food in some abnormal, just out of control way. And she does this thing where she rips her fur out too. Like literally, she lays in bed and pulls her fucking hair out. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Well, she's basically 19 years old, but other than that, she seems okay. And Nuna was throwing up several days in a row. Now she seems okay. You know, thank God I don't have kids because these cats are a handful. And Chloe fucked up her neck somehow. Like the back part of her neck, like sort of like kind of behind her head. She has like almost like a wound. Like a wound might be dramatic about it, but it's like pink skin that's all wet and fucked up and looks like it could be infected. So I have to go to fucking Petco or PetSmart and buy some animal friendly and safe, like ointment or type of Neosporin or something, and then wrap it. I don't know what the fuck she did. She's acting completely normal, though. Cats are insane. They could have like their head hanging off, and they're still purring and eating food. So I don't know what the fuck she did, but clearly she got it caught on something, and it gave her some kind of gash or something. Oh, yeah. Last week, I went on a six-day fast. Broke my record because I think my record was 140 hours. I went 144. And I would have gone a full week, but I had a show at the Punchline. And for anyone who fasts or knows about it, like, you gotta clear your afternoon of the day you break your fast because, you know, it's pretty much playing a Russian roulette with the bathroom. Even if you ease into your first meal, drink a little bit of broth, take a bite of cheese, do what you want, and then you slowly build your way to, like, a semi-decently sized meal, you know, you're gonna be having waterworks in the bathroom. So I didn't want to go over a week either, so I was like, 6 days is good enough. I made my point. This summer, I'm going to try to do the week. You know, I was getting on stage well-fasted, so I was fine, but having to do that show at sunset and the timing of it, I was like, I don't feel like going over a week now, because a week would have been like 3 hours before showtime, and I would have shit my pants on stage. YouTube update. I'm up to 786, so we've seen a giant spike. You know, I should be at 10,000 by now, considering when I first started this thing. But a cat video gave me like 80 new followers. So yeah, the orange cat is not back. Remember the Orange Cat Chronicles? But I think his children are still around because these two smaller orange cats that look identical to him showed up. And I posted a video on like TikTok and YouTube and Instagram Reels, and it got like 6,000 views and, you know, a bunch of fucking likes, and like 80 people followed me because of it. So yeah, the orange cat has left his seeds here, and they're trying to get inside of the apartment. It was out of control. So yeah, follow me on YouTube, AliUSA86. I've resurrected Fucked Up Cars of Austin, Texas. I posted two of those last week. I have a few more in the chamber. We're going to keep those moving along. All right, let's just do apartment talk. I got new blinds, finally. After almost 2.5 years here, these blinds I didn't know how to raise or lift up. And yeah, Chloe's enjoying the fuck out of it because now she can lay in the window sill as she is right now. But my bedroom window could not open. They sealed it shut with like silicone, I guess. Not like now, like it would had already been that way. So I've never opened my bedroom window. This dude pries it fucking open, and now it feels like I'm outside. So like if it thunderstorms or we get like a crazy weather, it's going to be wild. And I need to hit up maintenance and have them fucking fix this. Because at night, I'm laying in bed and it feels like I'm outside. I can just feel the fucking wind. It's insane. I think someone is squatting in my neighbor's abandoned apartment. They actually pounded on the wall for me to be quiet, which is insane. I've lived here and I've never dealt with that. I'm like, motherfucker, you're not even supposed to be living in there. I could report your ass. So Gizmo pissed me off this morning. I usually never yell at my cats. I'm very kind and sweet to them, but she'd woken me up like 3 times and I yelled like fuck off or something. And I hear this dude pounding and I'm just like, really, dude? So, I get it. If I wake you up yelling, you know, that's on me. But I thought that apartment was completely abandoned and no one has moved into it yet. So, I don't know if it's a ghost or what the fuck is happening. What else did I have in the apartment besides some idiot living next door who's not allowed to be there? You know, they fixed my blinds. My neighbors have been fighting, but not as much. And there was one other thing I thought, but you know what? Fuck it. Who cares? I have to make this fast as shit anyway. So let's just move on to a little bit of sports action. Yeah, I'm not even pausing. A lot of times I take my sweet fucking time recording one of these and, you know, I go eat a snack. I go on fucking Reddit and I lay on the couch and I come back and it's like, oh, it took me 3 hours to record a 75-minute podcast. Not now. I gotta go full throttle through this fucking thing. If I forget something, too bad. And when I'm done with it, I'm done with it, and I'll edit it tomorrow with almost no sound effects. NBA playoffs, the Suns are a fucking dumpster fire, as I predicted. You know, shout out to Sam Katz, who's been on this podcast a couple of times, you know, back when I first moved to Austin. He's the most emotional, unrealistic Suns fan ever. Like, when the Suns are winning, he's like, oh my God, they're going to win the championship. And when they're losing, he just acts like that they're the worst team in the history of the league. So he was super optimistic about the playoffs. I wasn't. You've heard on this podcast, I was like, they ain't going nowhere. You know, I was like, there's some form of them playing at their highest ability, and just the positioning they're in shakes out to their favor. They maybe, if a miracle happens, could like get beaten to shit in the Western Conference Finals. I was wrong about that. They're not getting out of the first fucking round. They're down 0-2. Frank Vogel sucks. There's a million things I could list, but no one listens to this podcast for me to yell about the Suns. Let's be honest. So fuck them. The rest of the series are going on. Nuggets are up 2-0 on the Lakers. Pelicans and Thunder, who cares? Dallas tied their series. The East is whatever. The Heat are down 0-1 to the Celtics. The Knicks are up 2-0 on the fucking 76ers. Pacers are tied with the Bucks. And Cavs are beating the Magic 0-2. And I picked the, I'll just go over my picks so they're just set in stone and people can go back to see how wrong I was. I had the Thunder over the Pelicans, the Nuggets over the Lakers, the Suns over the Wolves, even though I hate my team and I know they're not good. I thought, well, maybe they'll get it together for one round. Nope. And then Mavericks over Clippers, then Celtics over Heat, 76ers over Knicks, Pacers over Bucks, and Magic over Cavs. So I'm wrong about several of those. Who gives a fuck? The Joker's brother is punching out fans at games. Type that into your old search engine. His giant brother, who's as tall as him, 6'11", but probably 400 pounds because he's fat, punched some guy in the face at the game, and everyone's like, he needs to be banned from every NBA arena and go to prison. I'm surprised he didn't knock the dude out. Like, this is like a regular-sized dude being punched by this behemoth, and he took the punch like a champ and kind of stood there. So, yeah. There was some player in the NBA who got banned for life for gambling and betting on NBA basketball games. It was Michael Porter Jr.'s brother. I can't think of his fucking name right now, and I really don't care, but banned for life. Something in here about, I don't talk baseball or hockey at all, but the Phoenix Coyotes or Arizona Coyotes are moving to Utah and everyone's sad. I was like, who gives a fuck? Fine. Move them to fucking Baghdad for all I care. Combat sports, UFC 300 is ancient history now. It was 2 weeks ago. I made my picks and I went 8-5. I'm not going to go over all the fucking picks. All I know is that the fight of the night was Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway. Everyone's saying it's the greatest knockout in history. I disagree, but it was pretty spectacular where Holloway stood in the middle of the fucking octagon, pointed downward and said, let's go, homeboy, and risked it all, where he was clearly up in the fight. All he had to do was wait 10 seconds and just, you know, go on to win a very comfortable, you know, decision, and decided to start throwing haymakers and knocked Justin out at the buzzer. So with all that, it's a top five knockout in history. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. I still think coming back from behind and winning at the very end is more important than some idiot acting like, you know, I'm so tough, I'm going to risk losing a fight I'm already winning. That's fun, but it's not as amazing as the comeback from the dead, like Leon Edwards kicking Usman, you know, unconscious with 30 seconds left or whatever the fuck that was. To me, that's a bigger knockout. I don't care what anyone says. I'll argue with Corey Adam, with Joe Rogan, with any of these dummies. Bring it. Ryan Garcia beat Devin Haney in boxing. I didn't even watch it. I was busy doing stand-up. There's a bunch of upcoming UFC fights. There's more in sports, but who gives a fuck? I have to make this fast. That's it for sports action. Let's move on to a little bit of stand-up comedy.
Not funny. This is comedy night and you are not funny.
You're right.
I'm telling you, you are not funny.
comedy has been pretty solid lately. Have a bunch of shit going on. Doing the Plano House of Comedy today, tonight. Like I said, I have to leave here in the next 90 minutes, pretty much, and go meet up with Josh Castro, and we're going to drive to Plano and then do the show with Flo Hernandez. Also have a Terrell, Texas, Friday. I think that's how you pronounce it. That's also basically Dallas, so I have to go up to Dallas again pretty much within a couple of days of each other with Ellis H., if you remember him from Kill Tony. We're co-headlining. And Secret Show Thursday. So I'll do a little bit of recap. I'm not going to do every show that I've done on here. I kind of pulled back a little bit. I wasn't doing as many open mics, and I was only booked on a few things each week. So it hasn't been that active. I did Leander Beer Garden. I don't know if I talked about that. That was fun. Not the biggest crowd, but I did like 35 minutes. There was a 250-pound dog in the audience. Or I think he said it was... I think he said he was 204 pounds, but it looked like a fucking horse. And I was just... And he was from Arizona, too. So I was just talking to the dog and his owner for a lot of my set. And, you know, it was like one of those no-pressure situations. I'm like, there's not a lot of people out here. I'm headlining. Yeah, I could just, you know, be a clown and just tap dance my way to doing 45 minutes. Or I can actually talk to the fucking people in front of me like a normal human being. And I gave him a little bit of both. A little mix and match. Shout out to Bill Rhodes for booking me on that. You know, I've done a couple of Double Down Tuesdays, you know, last night. I did the Green Room last night, actually. And then I did Anderson Mill right afterward. No challenge, Mike. Green Room was fun. It was another chaotic comedy where I did stand up, rapped a song, and then did a rap battle. I lost the one yesterday, but I'll be honest. I'm not making excuses, but I didn't really try this time. It was over a beat that I hated, and I could get into the details of how we both hated the beat, and we shouldn't have done it like that anyway, because the people that told us to rap over that beat, because they were going to rap over it, didn't even fucking rap over it, so it kind of ruined the whole thing. And I half-assed my way reading a verse that I wrote that day off of my fucking phone, and it didn't feel important. Not to downplay the show, but it just, the first one felt like, all right, this is the real deal. And he even said that the last one, what I did in the first chaotic comedy, is what he envisions the show to actually be through and through and moving forward. So I'm going to do it again, and we're going to go back to the Shook Ones Mobb Deep beat for that. So, yeah. Punchline at the Pole, 420. Had a good set. Brian Redband was in the crowd and then told me great job and then booked me on Secret Show because of it. So finally, I got Secret Show without Kill Tony. Feel like that's a big deal. You know, that's a, you know, leveling up. So maybe I can be a regular in his rotation. And, you know, that's fun. Speaking of Kill Tony, though, it's been wild lately. Just some dude bought my energy drink because he recognized me from it. Some guy at the gym has been giving me free fucking Celsius's at the Planet Fitness because he's a huge Kill Tony dude. And then Monday, I was doing my... So to justify being downtown, I leave and I do these quick fucking Uber Eats and DoorDash deliveries in between signing up. I'll sign up at Mothership, I'll leave, do a quick delivery, come back, see if I made the list. I usually don't. Sign up for Kill Tony, leave and do a few deliveries. As I'm doing this delivery, there's a dude like tailgating me, honking, and then it pulls up on the side of me, and he kind of looks like, it's like a bald dude with a beard, and he's honking, and he looks, I guess, excited, but I couldn't tell if he's pissed off, and I throw my hands off, like, what the fuck am I even doing? And then he starts rolling down his window and yells, "Kill Tony! Kill Tony!" And I was like, oh my fucking God. So that was fun. I'm not writing as much as I should, but I'm having good sets. And I feel like that, you know, as long as I can continue to get booked and hit people up, like, I'm ready for anything right now. So, you know, writing is always going to happen. The way I write is just, I won't have a good joke or anything I'm excited about for a month. And then one day I'll have four new ideas and two of them stick. And, you know, it's amazing. What else was I going to say? So I'm currently working on a horror-themed comedy show. I usually don't say my ideas until they happen, and I won't give away the names yet because ChatGPT is fucking amazing, by the way. Shout out to Robert Tabbitt for giving me that idea. I downloaded the free trial. It's so fucking expensive. It's like $8 a week or, you know, $169.99 a year or something. And I was just like, no way, Jose. And I just got the 3-day trial, got what I needed out of it, and deleted that motherfucker. But it gave me a bunch of horror-themed comedy names for the shows that were really good. And then you can go even deeper and be like, which one would attract the most clicks and attention? And it gave me that. And, you know, I just a horror-themed comedy show where it's not like, I didn't want to do something wildly experimental that's difficult or just, you know, a toss-up of if it's even going to be a good concept or idea. So I'm just like a loosely based horror theme where we encourage, maybe require comedians to do at least one horror-themed joke. And, you know, people walk out to horror music, you know. If you have horror movie shirts or whatever, you can rock those if you want. And, you know, it's different. It's just not another fucking comedy show where we have, you know, there's too many regular-ass comedy shows, but it's also not trying to be too wild. And I've already hit up management at a couple of places. We're going to see where and if that happens. Also, Velveeta Room, I'm trying to book a night where I headline, and they've been responsive, so I'm trying to build my own thing and make my own path. The city is difficult. I could complain all day about it like a lot of people do. And it's fun to complain, and you're not even wrong. And I feel like I'm not wrong with a lot of my complaints, but I've realized it does nothing but drain you. And there's no solutions in complaining, you know? So just do what you have to fucking do to build your own fucking way and shut up about it. I also signed up for Funniest Person in Austin. I didn't do it last year. I did it in 2022. I felt kind of hosed, but I'm not an idiot, and I know competitions are not fair at all. So if you just do it just for the video and just to be involved and just to be seen and just to be busy, fine. But all these people that act like the best comedian, I feel like at the end, like by the time you get to like the winner, someone who is really funny wins, whether they're the best or not or deserve to win, whatever. But it's, you know, it's the lead up, because this contest lasts 4 fucking months, and there's a lot of variables. Like, I don't have friends in Austin like that. Like, I only know other comedians. I'm not inviting them to a show, and I don't have a regular job to invite coworkers. I have no family out here, so I'm useless when it comes to, like, packing the room and making the club money. So that's where new comics, or as I call them, event comics, thrive in some of these competitions, especially in the earlier rounds, because, you know, they have a regular job, they might have a family, and they don't grind at stand-up. They're not really trying to be a comedian like that. So, as I said, they're event comedians. So, like, every several months or a couple times a year, they do things like Austin's Funniest Person, or Funniest Person in Austin, and they pack the fucking room with 50 people, and they do good enough, you know? Like, it's a little hacky, it's a little clunky. You know, they're not up there putting in the work to be, like, smooth and really high level at it. But it makes their friends laugh. They just made the club $1,000 fucking. And, you know, they give them the nudge. You're like, there you go. You made it to the second round. Have fun. So I'm not expecting to advance or do anything, but I know I'll kill and have a good set. And it'll just be fun to be involved. So, yeah, Funniest Person in Austin, 2024 is coming soon. This is just a quick add-in as I'm doing this post-production. It's not a big deal, but Plano went well. Me and Josh did like 20-minute sets. They had some local female comedian headline it, and it went good. You know, small audience, but we killed it and talked to like the manager and the booker, and it seems like I'll probably be back. So hopefully I can get like a weekend on the books and, you know, actually be like somewhat of a working comic where I'm like, oh, I'm at this club, I'm at that club. So hopefully this is heading me in that direction. All right, so it's time to move forward. But first, you know it, and I know it, that I'm thirstier than your ex-girlfriend on Facebook dating. So I've reached for a Polar Premium Seltzer. Natural calorie free, Blackberry Mango. Blackberry Mango Seltzer with other natural flavors for depth and complexity. This is a debut. I've had a bunch of new flavors, but since I didn't record for 2 weeks and I'm kind of low on variation of flavors, I've been drinking a bunch of these, you know, for the first time off of the podcast. You know, I don't think it makes a difference because if it's the first time I review it on here, it counts as a debut anyway, kind of. But this one I've never had. Shout out to Penguin for buying me this variety pack of Polar, which I really like. I think, you know, this is blasphemous, and I've said it before, Polar's probably better than Bubbly on average. Bubbly might be ranked number 3 because Waterloo goes toe-to-toe with Polar, and Bubbly, well, it has its flavors, and it's had its time in the fucking sun. You know, I feel like that it's not as good. So let's test this out and see what all the hype is about. Whoa. Huh. Let's try it again. Wow. You know, I got to do the rule of three, but I'm enjoying this. Okay. Blackberry Mango gets a 7.4 out of 10. It's nothing incredible. I feel like I might be doing it a disservice and not giving it all of its credit. But yeah, I think that's fair. Maybe if it caught me in a good day, in a better mood, and I was extra thirsty, I could maybe see it pulling an 8 out of its ass somehow, but being fair and objective and honest, it's a 7.4 out of 10. Blackberry Mango Polar Seltzer. You know, it's like a Dan Marley on the Phoenix Suns. I don't know the fuck I brought up the Suns again. Shoot me in the fucking head thinking about that team. So yeah, that's it. So now it's time to move on to the Twitcasting movie review and show portion. All right, and I think this is going to be the new music moving forward, the new theme of the movie review and show portion. I mean, we've been doing the TriStar for what, 2 fucking years now? Something like that. It's time to mix it up, so this is the new one moving forward. All right, this podcast really might just be an hour. This might be the shortest one in a while. Let's just go down the line here. I've been bobbing and weaving, you know. I've been streaming most nights, but not every night I do a show because sometimes I'm out late and I'm just like, we got to watch Power Slap or an episode of Shogun or Fallout, and then I stream for like an hour and we don't watch a movie at all. But let's start off with shows. Fallout. We've watched 2 episodes. Here's the thing about the show that's getting a lot of praise and excitement behind it. A lot of people are talking about it. I think it's good, but it doesn't have the charm of someone who's familiar with the fucking games. I've never played the games. I know nothing about the games. I don't know the authenticity or, wow, what a brilliant reference. That's so-and-so. Look, it looks like just like the game. So I don't get to enjoy any of that. So I feel like that, I mean, it's just like with, I brought this point up before, it's just kind of like with Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. Yeah, Better Call Saul is an excellent standalone show, but a lot of its charm is the connection to Breaking Bad. Like, oh my God, it's so-and-so. That's what he said in this episode of season whatever. Look, it's blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't get any connection to the fucking game, so. Show's still like a 7-ish. Right now, we've only watched 2 episodes. My internet was going in and out, so like, it took us a couple days to watch one episode because the internet kept fucking shutting off on me. And then we watched Shogun, finally finished it. I mean, I finally is kind of dumb because the finale came out yesterday. This show lost me. Very beautifully shot, well acted, very interesting. When it was hitting at its height, it was like an 8.5, but then it fell down to like a 5.5. I'll give it a reluctant 7. Because there's no fucking action down the stretch. I'm not trying to do a spoiler alert, but finally when you think it's going to get moving and shaking and really up the action and there's going to be some big fucking war or something, nothing ever happens. You know, it's just sitting there talking quietly, committing seppuku, whatever the fuck it's called, stabbing each other in the stomach in the end. Kind of a letdown, considering how much I was really loving it, and then I was just giving it the benefit of the doubt. Any moment now, it's going to get crazy, and it never got crazy. And I understand it's already a fucking former show, a book or a novel, whatever the fuck it is, so they kind of have to stick to what they have to stick to. And then everyone's like, when is season 2 going to come out? There's not going to be a season 2, because if there is, it means they're just writing shit out of thin air, which I know some shows have done that in the past, where it's like, no, this is like built on an already made book and storyline. So if we just start creating after the fact, it almost never works out. So leave it alone. It kind of failed at the end anyway. So, and some people were saying I was being too harsh on it because like it had been good. And I'm just like, this is a dramatic comparison, but that's just like, you know, judging your opinion on someone based on how they used to be a good person. Like, what if your wife was a great wife for 10 years and then she cheated on you and burned down your house? You're going to be like, well, she used to be nice. No, fuck her straight up. So, yeah, Shogun, it's lucky it got a 7 out of me. I should have given it a 6, but it is what it is. Oh, and then we were watching more Power Slap. I'm obsessed with Power Slap, you guys. I don't know if I'm becoming dumber or there's something in the water that's killing brain cells, but I've just been enjoying it. We've been watching the pay-per-view events. Apparently, they've been doing a pay-per-view event style event on Rumble every fucking month. So there's like 7 of them now. And they're all like 4 hours long. So we've just been watching them. And it's been hilarious. God, these men are fucking stupid. And women, too. There's been a few women matches lately. All right, let's get to some reviews. Baghead from 2023. This movie sucked. It looked good. It looked like, oh, this is like a Silent Hill crossed with Pan's Labyrinth type of, you know, creepy horror film. It sucked ass. I gave it a 3.7 out of 10. Then we watched something called Breathe from 2024. I don't even remember what the fuck this is about, but I gave it a 4.7, which feels higher than it should be. If my memory serves me correctly, that's being very generous. Then we watched Time Walker from 1982. It's like this alien movie, but it's not really alien enough. Because Happy Hunt was going to stream it during her extraterrestrial week and then said that it wasn't alien enough for her. And I get it. It's like about a mummy, but it's an alien. And it's so bad that it's funny and it feels like it should be epic and a classic, but it kind of drags. And I ultimately gave it a 4.9 out of 10, Time Walker from 1982. And then we watched Ghostbusters Afterlife from 2021 because the new one's out and I haven't seen a Ghostbuster since part 2. I never watched the stupid remake with the female cast. I just thought it looked so bad that I just didn't waste my time. Never saw this new one and then the other, the Frozen, whatever the hell it's called. Frozen Kingdom or whatever the fuck it's called. That one is new and out. So I was like, we gotta watch this one. And I ultimately gave Ghostbusters Afterlife a 6.9 out of 10. I was very tempted to give it a 7 because I loved the music, the feel, and they actually tried. Like, they really fucking tried. But there was something about it that just kind of annoyed me. I understand it's a child's movie in a sense, but their lack of being afraid of anything, like, that, you know, it's, I don't know. Like, the whole city's being taken over by giant monsters, and they're, like, having fun. And I get, it's a, like I said, it's a family movie, but there's something about it kind of annoyed me, but their attempt to do it right, you know, it felt, it was probably more of like a 6, you know, but I was tempted to give it a 7, so I ultimately gave it a 6.9. I'm talking too much. Ghostbusters Afterlife is aight. Then we watched Late Night with the Devil from 2023. but just came out to streaming. It's one of those movies that premiered at South by Southwest here in Austin last year, 2023. Very well made, good concept, looks good, but it missed the mark. It dragged on way too fucking long, and I gave it a 6.4 out of 10. I hated the ending, kind of, and it crawled its way into the sixes based on look and feel alone, but it lost me. It's like this late night host who brings on a chick who's possessed and has like some psychic lady talk to her, and then eventually, yeah, she really is possessed and shit goes sideways, and like that sounds amazing, and it could have been, and the special effects when shit does go down is very fun and cool, but then just the ending pissed me off. So fuck it, 6.4 out of 10. Then we tried watching a movie called Jack's Back from 1988, and I turned it off after 30 minutes and gave it a 2, even though I usually don't grade movies once I turn them off. I don't know why I did, but I have it in my phone that I gave it a 2. Then we watched something called Bad Hombres from 2023. And this movie tried to be Breaking Bad so bad. It took place in New Mexico. Just a lot of the imagery and look and the shit that's going on. I gave it a 5.6 out of 10. Tyrese was in it. A bunch of people I've never heard of. And it gets like a B+ for effort and for trying, but ultimately it's not a good movie. 5.6 out of 10. There's a lot worse, but there's a lot better. And this is the final movie I'll review here. I watched it when it was new. So I watched this movie. I watched a theater cam version back in September of 2022, I believe. And that is called Smile from 2022. I liked it back when we watched it on Twitcasting, or maybe it was OK Live at the time. And I think I gave it like a 7, but I was talking too much and I didn't pay close enough attention, because this time I watched it and I paid super close attention. It's in high definition. This is going to blow your guys' mind, but I gave it an 8.4 out of 10. I fucking loved it. So many things it did right, in my opinion, because the woman who's going through this insanity, I love how she's absolutely losing her mind, acting fucking crazy, and is legitimately terrified. Too many fucking times in these horror films, people act like it's normal, that their house is possessed by the devil, and they're just not intimidated, afraid, and they just act like shit's mostly, like, fine. This bitch loses her shit, and I loved it. And I'm trying to think of what could have been improved with it. Not a lot I could think of. It's just maybe if it just went a little crazier, it could have, like, really blown me away, but I fucking loved it. 8.4 out of 10 is insane for me, especially for horror movies. I feel like it's the best horror film outside of Hereditary of, like, the last 20 years. You know, and we're talking specifically horror, and I'm saying, you know, of the last 20 or 20-something years, because all my favorites are in the 80s and, like, late 70s. There's a few in the 90s, and then once you crawl into the 2000s, horrors, for the most part, aren't that good, and when they are, they're like a 7, or like a 7.5 if I'm really feeling it. So to get an 8.4, because I think Hereditary is like a 9, or an 8.9, or whatever the fuck I gave it, but Smile is fantastic. I don't give a fuck who disagrees, because some people in the chat were disagreeing. They're like, no, Talk to Me is better. Talk to Me is not better. Talk to Me did that bullshit where they were having too much fun with being possessed, where they grab the hand and then their eyes go jet black and they have a fucking seizure and they start talking to like a zombie looking ghost and they're all like laughing about it. Get the fuck out of here. Had Talk to Me left out that element and just had shit go crazy, it would be neck and neck with Smile. But Smile didn't do that bullshit and it wins. Talk to Me was like an 8.2, right? I forget what I scored it. This is an 8.4, maybe even an 8.5. I loved Smile. Oh, another quick thing. I'm not even really going to rate this movie because I didn't stream it. Happy Haunt did. She's doing Vampire Week. She did Dinosaur Week last week too, which was awesome, which I recommended, and she did it. But Buffy the Vampire Slayer from 1992. We're watching this movie, and it dawns on me, out of three of the major characters, Paul Reubens, you know, Pee-wee Herman, and then Luke Perry and Donald Sutherland. Donald Sutherland, who's by far the oldest, is the only one left alive out of these three. He's like fucking 90 and he's alive, but these two dudes are dead. I got nothing clever to say about that. That was just kind of a mind fuck to me. I was like, what the hell is going on? All right, and that's it. And I'm going to very reluctantly do this final portion. I've not been watching the news at all. I have friends that send me memes about Israel and Palestine, about World War III, about Donald Trump taking a shit and, you know, them zooming in on it and saying that, oh, that means that he stole the election or whatever the fuck I'm trying to say. I'm going to breeze through this fucking thing. So, you know, go to Costco and, you know, pull the fire alarm and sweet chin music an old woman to her fucking face because it's time to turn it off now.
Please stop it. Stop it now. Turn it off. Turn it off. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
All right, let's do a quick President Malto meal.
Trump can spew a lot of garbage, but I can spit fire. Let me give what I gotta do to get it through. You want a human, innovative, and I made a rebel. So think anything you say is bigger, say enough for me. And I don't give a state more than ever demonstrating how to give a motherfucker.
Like I said, I don't know or care about anything going on with the president anymore. I'm so focused on comedy and trying to fucking survive and make enough money so I'm not dead in, you know, the next 2 weeks. So there's something about some cannibal story. I didn't look into it. I saved an article. Let's see what the fuck this is all about. Cannibals ate Uncle Boise? Bossy? Bossy? How the fuck do you pronounce that? See, I'm just like the president. He's starting to rub off on me. President Joe Biden twice mumbled false stories about Uncle Bossy, insinuating the family member had been eaten by cannibals during World War II when the 81-year-old was taken out to campaign on Wednesday. Let's listen to it.
Ambrose Finnegan, we called him Uncle Bosey, he was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. Before single-engine plane reconnaissance flights over New Guinea, he volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals. Thinking about when I was standing there was when Trump refused to go up to the memorial for veterans in Paris, and he said they're a bunch of suckers and losers.
Okay, what the fuck do I even say about that? Uncle Bozy was eaten by cannibals and somehow he turns it into an attack on Donald Trump. Okay, perfect. Checks out. Biden then flew up to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where he spoke to the United Steel Workers Union Wednesday, and a confused and sleepy-looking Biden then began to speak ill-fated Bozy once again.
Back in when D-Day occurred, and on Sunday, the next day, my mother's four brothers all went down to the recruiting station and joined the military. Every one of them volunteered. And my uncle, they called him Ambrose Bozy, they called him Bozy. My Uncle Bozy was a hell of an athlete, they tell me when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. He got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because it used to be.
All right, it's more of the same shit. Who cares? Why am I even reading this? Who gives a fuck? We understand he has dementia and he has grits for brains, whatever the fuck you want to call it. What else on here about good old President Malto meal? Oh, there's a dementia story. What the hell is this? Oh, yeah, this. Two-time NCAA basketball champ shares shocking story of Joe Biden's dementia. Donovan Klingon, a two-time NCAA basketball national champion with the University of Connecticut, recently further exposed the poor mental state of Joe Biden by sharing an anecdote from his team's last visit to the White House. After winning the 2023 national championship, the team was offered a trip to the White House where Biden allegedly took photos with the team, spoke to them for 3 minutes, and then immediately asked to take photos again as if he had forgotten what took place just minutes prior. Last year, after we won the national championship, we went to the White House, Klingon explained. We took pictures with Joe Biden. Joe Biden talked to us for about 3 minutes, and then right after that, he asked us for a picture again. There's a video. Who cares? The basketball star said Biden completely ignored the team's coach and that the team couldn't really understand what Biden was saying. Well, I mean, not much to take away from that. That's pretty standard for the fucking president. All right, and let's just fly down the line here because I really have to, you know, this is going to be like a 65-minute podcast max. I already have Josh Castro texting me saying, where the fuck are you? We're leaving. There's a bunch of shit in here about the banks collapsing. Like I said, as you know, money is not good right now for most people, especially a loser like me. They're saying banks are going to collapse or something. I had an article on it. Yeah, I can't fucking find it. You know, figure out a way to survive. You know, start giving hand jobs behind 7-Elevens and Church's Chickens in your local neighborhood, and you know, make an extra $20 so you can get that fix in and buy, you know, the half gram of whatever the fuck you fancy. What is this? This is old. April 10th. Trump exposes letters from Stormy Daniel admitting affair never happened. All right, that was a weird turn. Former President Eric Cartman on Wednesday exposed an official letter from ex-porn star Stormy Daniels denying an affair with the real estate mogul ever took place. Look what was just found. Will the fake news report it? Trump asked on Truth Social, posting an image of the letter reportedly written in 2018. Let's see what this says. To whom it may concern, over the past few weeks, I've been asked countless times to comment on reports of an alleged sexual relationship I had with Donald Trump many, many, many years ago. The fact of the matter is each party to this alleged affair denied its existence in 2006, 2011, 2016, 2017, and now again in 2018. I'm not denying this affair because I was paid hush money. As it has been reported in overseas tabloids, I'm denying this affair because it never happened. I will have no further comment on this matter. Please feel free to check me out on Instagram at my cunt is the size of the Grand Canyon. Okay. Thank you, Stormy Daniels. Well, there you have it. If that's real, then, you know, I don't believe half the shit that they pin on Trump anyway, though. Like I said, I'm not a fan. He's not likable, but clearly they're trying to just get whatever they can on him. All conveniently during the year that he's running for the presidency again. It's a big shit show. Oh, there's some bitch calling for Elon Musk to be arrested. Let's see this. Breaking. Australian senator calls for Elon Musk's arrest for defending free speech. Australian Senator Jackie Lambie called for Elon Musk to be jailed for allowing footage of a priest being stabbed by radical Islamists to be shared freely on the X platform. And there's a video of this dumb bitch looking like a drawing from Bob's Burgers. And that's all we'll fucking look into it, I guess. Who cares? All right, some O.J. Simpson stuff. Oh, yeah, I've talked about this on the podcast. I remember where I was at during the infamous Bronco slow-speed chase that took place in 1994 because I was trying to watch The Simpsons. You know, it was Fox. It was, you know, I was 8 years old, whatever the fuck I was. I'm like, time for The Simpsons. I turned it on, and I see O.J. Simpson. And I kind of knew who he was, but I didn't. All I saw was Simpsons, so my 8-year-old brain just thought I was still watching The Simpsons, and I was like, this is the dumbest episode I've ever fucking seen. Worst episode ever. Okay, O.J. Simpson confessed to the murders before he died. Is this true? Before dying on Thursday, O.J. Simpson confessed he murdered his ex-wife, Nicole, and her friend, Ron Goldman, saying, "I grabbed the knife, I do remember that, there was blood everywhere." Simpson was acquitted of the murders in the sensational 1995 trial, but recorded the hypothetical confession tapes 12 years ago, to prompt his book, If I Did It. And there's a fucking video, and we all know about that. There was also a fake tweet saying that I killed them motherfuckers or whatever, and I think it was debunked. What else do we have on here? There was some conspiracy about the Keystone Bridge that the woman that owned, like, the shipping company was, like, the sister-in-law of Mitch McConnell. And then 2 days after the collapse of the bridge, she died in a freak accident where her Tesla drove backwards on its own as a fuck-up with the vehicle, and she died in a car accident because it just drove backwards. And then I found out that actually did happen to her, but it happened before the bridge collapsed, and she didn't actually own the company. Who the fuck knows? I had an article on it, but, you know, that's, like, some of these are so old because I haven't recorded a solo cast in, like, 3 weeks. So some of these articles just, like, I don't know, they get lost in time. Oh, check this out. Another idiot setting themselves on fire. Man sets self on fire outside of Trump NYC trial. A man set himself ablaze outside of the former President Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial in New York on Friday. You know what? More people need to do this to themselves. I'm serious. At least it can be entertaining. If you're not happy with your life and you want to go and, you know, you're not, you know, long for this world, start doing this more. Footage shows a person engulfed in flames outside of the Manhattan courthouse while terrified screams from onlookers could be heard. There's a video. Authorities rescue the man that set himself on fire outside the courthouse. Trump trial is taking place. After a few moments, police rush to the scene. They use a fire extinguisher, attempting to put out the blaze. Yeah, who cares? Oh, there was also that shit in the news they tried to turn into the next George Floyd. That Dexter Reed thing where some dipshit was just like, he got pulled over for, I don't know what it was, you know, not having the proper tinting on his fucking windows and then not wearing a seatbelt, which is odd to me because how the hell could you see if he's wearing a seatbelt or not if he's tinted too dark? Whatever, that's not the point of this. But then he rolls down the window and starts shooting at the fucking cops. So clearly he gets murked and gets taken out as they shoot and kill him. And then his mom's on the news saying, all he was doing was driving his car that he just bought. He was such a good boy. I'm like, there's a video of him shooting the fucking police. Give me a fucking break, you know? Also, you know what? I feel like the cops were a little bit fucking idiotic in this instance too, because 96 rounds they shot into this dude in a highly populated residential area. I think dumping the clip would have been good enough. These fucking cops freak out, and I'm just like, you know how many more people can get shot when you're shooting 96 fucking rounds? So, you know, there's idiots on both sides, but the person truly at fault is the dipshit that shot at the cops first, you know, and it never took off. You know, they tried to make it another thing where people are outraged and are going to riot and cause fucking racial division, and it just didn't hit. Because a lot of people were like, okay, even the most just like everything is racist and, you know, they go in lockstep with the news. A lot of them were just like, he shot the fucking police. Shut up. There's something about here about the FBI exposing the plan to take down Alex Jones. I'm like, I don't need some intricate explanation. It's obvious that they're trying to take him out, you know, but apparently it's just like shows exactly what they're trying to do. And I cannot find the fucking article now. Who gives a fuck, I guess. You know what? I really have to eat and leave. So we're just going to barrel into the final portion and talk a little bit of trust the science.
Yes, science!
Here we go. Let's go right into this shit that gets me banned on YouTube. And like I said, I'm going to be on YouTube more with this podcast, but it's going to be in like a live setting with a guest. All this shit's never going to be talked about on YouTube, so this is for the hardcore listeners, the 13 of you that make it this deep into the podcast and actually give a fuck when I talk about these things. CDC discloses 780,000 new reports of serious side effects after COVID-19 vaccination. I feel like I read this already. This week, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released 780,000 previously disclosed reports about a wide array of adverse effects after COVID-19 vaccination. Years after the federal government undertook an intensive campaign to delegitimize such talks as harmful misinformation. The Epoch, I feel like I read this. One shot. Okay, I feel like I read this. And if I didn't, fuck it, you know, because I read it and, you know, look into it. Type in 780,000 side effects or whatever the fuck it's called. What is this? It's a video, I think, but watch. Professor exposes childhood vaccine connection to rise in all-cause mortality. Professor in global health at University of Southern Denmark, Christine Stabil-Bin, is warning the world about an alarming increase in all-cause mortality being linked to childhood vaccinations. According to Ben, investigators found certain shots given to kids are contributing to an increase in death among youths. One theory the professor suggested is that the shots increase the patient's susceptibility to other infections and therefore open the door for other illnesses to harm the body. And there's a long-ass video. This bitch that looks like Ellen DeGeneres had sex with Troy Aikman. We actually saw and can show repeatedly for some of the vaccine children who received them, particularly for reasons we don't really understand yet. And I have to click the X article to continue that thought. So, not happening. What else on here? I really am in wrap it up mode. Like, this might be the shortest podcast I've done since, like, 2020. Okay, I'm just going down the line here. Watch. Scientists developing nanobots that could release toxins, harvest energy from body. Ooh, this sounds like a great movie. And also a video. So we will gloss over that. Pfizer slapped with meager fine for promoting its COVID-19 mRNA injection prior to approval. What is this about? Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer was slapped with a measly fine for promoting its Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 mRNA injection before it was even approved by British authorities. Back in November of 2020, Pfizer UK medical director Dr. Berkeley Phillips shared a post from a fellow employee on Twitter, now X, about the company's COVID-19 injection. Our vaccine candidate is 95% effective in preventing COVID-19 and 94% effective in preventing COVID-19 in people over 65 years old. The post stated, four other Pfizer employees retweeted the same, and an additional four also liked it. But the tweet did not sit well with the Prescription Medicines Code of Practice Authority, PMCPA, the self-regulatory body that oversees pharmaceutical industries in the United Kingdom. The PMPCA administrators, the Association of British Pharmaceutical Industry Code Practice for the industry, according to the panel convened by the PM in November of 2020. And for some reason, the fucking audio stopped recording in the middle of this stupid article. Who gives a fuck, you know? Obviously, they're jumping to conclusions and stating things that had not been researched or carried out enough to know the answer, and they're just doing the bullshit they always fucking do. All right. There's something in here. Weather Wars? What the fuck is this? Weather Wars. That sounds like a game to download onto your fucking iPhone that's not at all as advertised. You know, you're scrolling Instagram, you see Weather Wars, and there's this complex, insane-looking game, and then you get it, and it's just Pong instead. Government weather modification could spark weather wars between countries, warns meteorologists. I hope I'm alive for this. A top meteorologist is warning government weather modification could unintentionally spark conflicts between nations where weather would be used in warfare among countries. According to Kister's senior meteorologist, John Jacques, the cloud seeding debacle that precipitated the Dubai floods should be served as a reminder that the government influence on the weather can lead to consequences that aren't fully predictable. Cloud seeding aims to enhance and accelerate the precipitation process, especially in areas which have not seen any rain for a long time. Such intense precipitation can lead to infiltration excess flow with potential flash floods as a result, Jock has stated, according to Newsweek. The Dubai floods act as a stark warning of the unintended consequences we can unleash when we use such technology to alter the weather. Well, that sounds awesome. That sounds like a great fucking movie, actually, and I hope it happens. Fuck it, let's do it. All right, a couple more things and I really got to go. How mRNA COVID-19 vaccines are actually destroying people's immune systems. Well, I've known about this for a long time. Now that a few years have passed since the first COVID-19 vaccines were administered, the effects on the immune system are becoming painfully obvious, and some medical experts are concerned about the potential impact on human health. mRNA or messenger RNA vaccines are relatively new player in the vaccine field. Their goal is to invade the body's cells and teach them how they can generate protein that will spur an immune response to produce antibodies that can prevent infection should an actual virus enter their body. They are different from traditional vaccines and yada yada. And this is just too long. This is the craziest article I've seen in my life. And you know what? I fucking believe it. I really just don't have time, you guys. I still have to eat and shower, and I'm supposed to leave in 30 minutes. This is impossible. Like, I'm up against the clock right now. And there's something about Matt Barnes, the former NBA basketball player who's a big podcaster now, saying that they were just guinea pigs in the NBA when they were making them take the vaccine. I mean, it wasn't everyone, though. God forbid, you know, millionaires have to go through the same shit that fucking peasants like myself have to be, you know, put through. We were guinea pigs. Former NBA champ questions long-term COVID vaccine effects. Former NBA champion. Is he really former NBA champion? What, he was the 13th player on the Lakers bench in 2002 or some shit? Blasted COVID-19 vaccine mandates and pointed they were pushed on the population. Okay, at least he's talking about the population. I thought it was just some NBA bitching. Oh, he went on Sage Steele's show. That chick went all hard right on everyone and got after she left ESPN. And there's a video. And he's not saying anything we don't already fucking know, so it's really not important. I just put these things in my phone, and sometimes they hit, sometimes they don't. All right, final thing right here. FDA says bird flu found in cow's milk. So here we go. They're going to SimCity our ass again, whether it's through weather wars or, you know, introducing a new fucking pandemic. You know, there's people at the top with a fucking video game controller deciding what's next for humanity. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, has issued an alert on Tuesday which indicated that highly pathogenic avian influenza A and A7 virus HPAI has been detected in pasteurized cow's milk weeks after novel influenza A H5N1 and avian flu was detected in a human after the man was in contact with dairy cows. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, the U.S. Food Drug Administration, and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, along with partners, continue to investigate an outbreak of a highly pathogenic avian influenza virus impacting dairy cows in multiple states. Infection with the virus is causing decreased lactation, low appetite, and other symptoms in affected cattle, the FDA alert said. For only the second time in the U.S. and the first time in Texas, a human was infected with bird flu, according to the Texas Department of Health. And I'm tired of reading these fucking long-ass things. The patient became ill following contact with a dairy cow presumed to be infected with avian influenza. The patient's primary symptom was shitting his pants and not able to speak. Just kidding. The patient's primary symptom was conjunctivitis, and HHS alert said the FDA is using its findings to discourage the consumption of raw milk. Well, there you have it. I think that's it, guys. We hit an hour. Oh, eating junk food. Fucking pop-up. Eating junk food as a kid can cause memory impairment as an adult study. Well, you've heard my blips on this fucking podcast, so it's probably true. A study conducted by the University of Southern California has discovered that eating a lot of American junk food during adolescence can result in impaired memory function during adulthood. The experiment was conducted by feeding rats junk food, then seeing how their cognition compared to other rats with healthier food. The study referred to the junk food as a cafeteria diet and a Western diet, which they categorized as processed foods with saturated fat and simple sugars. This food was made up of big-name industrial food items, food which contains additives so dangerous that they are illegal in other countries. 20% kcal from protein, 35% kcal from carbohydrate, 45% from fat, potato chips, Ruffles, Originals, Frito-Lay, Casa Grande, Arizona, USA. Chocolate-covered peanut butter cups, Reese's, Minis, Unwrapped, the Hershey Company's, Hershey's, Pennsylvania, United States, and 11% weight volume, yada yada, high fructose corn syrup, yada yada. Well, the study found that rodents which were fed the American industrial foods were cognitively impaired by the diet compared to rats which ate healthier food. The study was focused on the nutritive effects of food while ignoring the additives found in American processed foods that are proven to cause physiological degeneration. And there you fucking have it. There's way more to this. I gotta fucking go. Like, it's gonna be a miracle if I make it in time. So thanks for listening. Go on to YouTube and follow me at AliUSA86. Follow me on Instagram. There's more coming. This podcast is about to get a giant fucking production bump, and it's going to be all fun and dandy. So until next time, kiddies, stay safe, stay healthy, don't be a bitch, and stay up.